Over 80 million Americans eat fast food every day, including over one-third of the nation's children and adolescents. Some eat it multiple times a day. This leads us to ask, can America's moms chase the dangerous chemicals out of fast foods?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Welcome to the 1354th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Valparaiso who are tuned into the Food Chain podcast at metrofarm.com or Spotify. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, those who hike the backcountry of the Montana Rockies know to never corner a mama grizzly with her cubs in tow. It's better to give her a half-hour notice that you're coming. Bang on a pan, ring a bell, or sing a John Denver song with as much enthusiasm as you can muster. One mom I know is as angry as the mother grizzly you never want to corner. Why is she so angry? Because she has discovered what is in the food served to children by schools and fast food chains. She is Zen Honeycutt, founder and executive director of Moms Across America, and author of Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community. Zen, welcome back to the Food Chain.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you to all your listeners as well.
When last we spoke, back in Food Chain number 1332, which was about a year and a half ago, we talked about what you found hidden in the nation's school lunches. Now we are talking about what you found hidden in the nation's fast foods. You are living up to the title of your book, Unstoppable, like a mama grizz charging down the hill. What turned you, Zen Honeycutt, into a mama grizzly?
So, thank you, Michael. Well, when we found out when we were testing school lunches, 43 samples, over 40 is a scientifically significant number, by the way, that the FDA and the EPA are not supposed to ignore. When we tested school lunches, we found out that the major suppliers of school lunches are actually fast food companies. And we were a bit grossed out, I have to say, but decided to test fast food because we wanted to get to the source of who's supplying, you know, these school lunches to our children and their toxicity. And, you know, as you know, if you've listened to the previous episode with you, if your listeners did, 100% of the samples were positive for heavy metals in school lunches. Not over 93% were positive for glyphosate. They were very low in minerals. There were veterinary drugs and hormones found in, I believe it was 9 of the school lunch samples. And there were 29 different harmful pesticides found in school lunches as well. So we wanted to get to the source of that and see what was going on with fast food as well.
So you looked into the nation's school lunches, and what you found was that all of them contained pesticides and herbicides. Then you learned that most of the nation's school lunches are provided by the purveyors of fast foods. And so you went looking into what was in the nation's fast foods. But what was it that made you as mad as a mama grizzly with cubs in tow?
Well, like millions of mothers and fathers across the country, when my children were very little, they're now 20, 18, and 15, but when they were babies and toddlers, we were dealing with an onslaught of food allergies, autism symptoms, allergy, you know, asthma, autoimmune issues. Our kids at one point each had food intolerances to over 20 different foods. And so eating was very, very difficult, and visiting anybody in a social situation was like walking in a minefield. You know, I never knew when my son would pick up a cookie from the coffee table that he was told was chocolate chip, but there were actually walnuts in it, and you know, it could kill him. Where they had severe, one of my oldest son had severe life-threatening allergies to nuts. And my husband and I never did. So we were like, what is going on here? And when he almost died from nuts, from a nut in Thanksgiving dinner, we just avoided it and did the best we could. But then a couple years later, when he really wished that all his food allergies would go away. And I said, well, me too, buddy. But in my head, I was thinking that's never going to happen because the doctors told me his nut allergies were only going to get worse. But then I had a moment, Michael, where I heard what I was saying to myself in my head. And I was like, wait a second, saying that's never going to happen. It's very disempowering, right? It's being a victim. It's giving up.
It's kind of like pulling the rug out from underneath yourself.
Yeah. And it's total resignation running the show. And that's not who I am. That's not who I'm committed to being. I'm committed to being courageous and creative and being a contribution to the world. That's just what I've personally created for myself. And so I said, if I'm coming from that, what could be possible? What could I create? And I realized that I already had inspiration in the world. One of my cousins, Sarah, had gone gluten-free for a year, totally strict gluten-free, which sounded like a nightmare to me because I love pizza and croissants and, you know, all of that. But she went gluten-free for a year. And then after that, she said when she did have a slice of pizza at a birthday party or a piece of wedding cake, she was able to eat it and be fine, right? She wouldn't break out in a huge rash or have massive headaches. So I told my son that story. This is my 9-year-old, my eldest. And I said, would you like to, you know, someday be able to eat a slice of pizza at a birthday party? Because at the time, you know, his allergies were so bad he couldn't. He looked at me and said, yes. And then I said, well, would you be my partner in your health? Would you drink green drinks and try alternative therapies like acupuncture or Chinese medicine? Or like, would you do whatever it takes? And he thought seriously about it. And he said, yes. And I said, then I promise you your health will get better. And I shook his hand and made a deal with him. Now, I was scared when I did that. I did not know how I was going to do that. But what I do know is that when anybody makes a promise to somebody, they take actions they normally wouldn't take. They step up, right? And especially a mom for her child. I am going to honor my word. So I took actions. I watched movies. I had found out about GMOs by then. And I was like, you know, this must be it. These genetically modified organisms in the food supply that are foreign proteins. I didn't know quite as much about the pesticides then at that time, but we went GMO free. And within 4 months, his allergies were dramatically better. And when we went organic a year later, because my second son had autism symptoms, because he was eating wheat sprayed with glyphosate as a drying agent, and I'll talk more about what that is. When we went 100% organic, not only did my second son get better from his autism symptoms, but my eldest son, his allergies went down. We retested him, and his allergies went from a 19 to nuts down to a 0.2. So that is no longer a life-threatening allergy. So we resolved his allergy issues, and all of my sons can now eat the eggs and the dairy and the wheat. My eldest son can even eat nuts. He doesn't try to on purpose, but if he does by accident, he doesn't have to go to the hospital. He just drinks a large glass of water and rests for a little bit. So we have resolved their allergy issues, their autism symptoms, their autoimmune issues simply by eating organic. And when I learned the possibility of this, like I didn't even have tons of evidence at the time, but when I learned the possibility about this, just the GMO part, when my son got better from his allergies with the, you know, eliminating GMOs from his diet, before we'd even gone 100% organic, I realized this must be what's going on in the food supply. And I started Moms Across America to march to label GMOs. We had a big banners and we joined into 4th of July parades that said Moms Across America march to label GMOs. And we had, I started a Facebook page and a website, and within 3 to 4 months, we had a reach on Facebook of over 300,000 a week. And we had 179 groups join into parades in 37 states. And we reached thousands locally and millions nationally in a single day to raise awareness about GMOs and shift the marketplace towards organic. And I think that our moms have been pretty darn successful in doing that. We had 600 leaders log over 1,000 events within the next 5 years in all 50 states. And I believe that our moms have been at the forefront of nudging the marketplace towards organic and really making those organic options available in the grocery store now. I think most grocery stores in America now have a wide variety of organic food. And it was not like that, you know, 10, 12 years ago.
I wonder what the purveyors of these fast foods must think when they see 800,000 angry mama bears marching on the streets of America.
Well, okay, so we weren't marching down the street in D.C. We were marching on the streets in 4th of July parades. So we were
figuratively, you know, right.
Yes, but yeah. So we did 10,000 called the EPA in 3 days when we found glyphosate in breast milk and in tap water and urine. And, you know, what they have said all along is that, oh, glyphosate's considered safe and we have studies showing that it's safe. And when I talked to the EPA about that, I said, well, no, you don't. Not on humans, you don't. And they said, well, no, we don't test on humans. And I said, why not? And they said, well, it's not considered ethical to test pesticides on humans. And I said, if it's not considered ethical to test pesticides on humans, how is it considered ethical to allow pesticides in our food and in our water and in our children's bodies and in our breast milk?
Tough questions.
I said, you need to stop this and you need to stop it now. I went full mom on them. And they were alarmed. They did eventually do some testing and they claimed that they didn't find glyphosate in breast milk, but I don't know if they used breast milk samples from the 1930s or what. You know, I have no idea.
Back in food chain number 1059, we featured a UCSF research physician who was examining urine sampled from people around the United States. He found 93% of those samples contained glyphosate.
Moms Across America initiated the first glyphosate testing in America, and I'm very proud that other people have now taken on, there's labs all across the country now that will test for glyphosate. When my second son had his onset of autism symptoms when he was 8 years old, nobody would test for glyphosate. I asked at least six different labs, and they were all like, no, it's considered safe. And so I bugged a farmer friend of mine who knew a lot of people in the food movement, and eventually he said, you know what, I've got an old friend. He used to work at Monsanto, and he has his own lab now, and he helped develop the methodology testing for glyphosate, and so he's willing to test. So this was a man who was independent, you know, he had his own thing going on and he was supportive. And so that's who we sent our, urine samples to. And people across the country sent their own urine samples, their own water samples and their own breast milk. And, Moms Across America paid for the breast milk samples to be tested, but other people paid for the, urine and tap water and sustainable pulses. Henry Rollins was instrumental in getting the breast milk testing done. And he started, after that, he started the detox project, and he, then created a label called, glyphosate free, you know, for certifying food, and, did a whole variety of glyphosate testing as well, and found glyphosate in about 60% of grocery store food.
The numbers are simply incredible. But what do they mean for our children? Stay tuned. We will be right back with Zen Honeycutt, Moms Across America.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back. This is Food Chain radio program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. And we all know what our children are eating. They're eating school lunches and fast foods. Well, we have Zen Honeycutt here and her moms across America who are looking into those school lunches and fast foods. And what they're finding is kind of frightening. Zen?
Well, what they found in the school lunches was that over 93% of them were positive for glyphosate and AMPA, which is the breakdown of glyphosate. And glyphosate is a carcinogen, an endocrine disruptor, meaning it disrupts the hormones in the body and your body cannot function without your hormones. Things like depression and mood disorders and, you know, of course your reproductive cycles, your nervous system, all of that's dependent on your hormones. It's also a nervous system. It causes nervous system damage. It causes glyphosate causes neurotoxicity. It also androgenizes baby girls, meaning it makes their reproductive areas more masculine, and it increases the anogenital distance and masculinizes them. And it has been shown to increase autism symptoms in male rats when the mothers are exposed to glyphosate. And it also damages the sperm. In males, of course, the mobility, the function, the form of it, and the quantity. So it damages sperm in four different ways. So it has reproductive, serious reproductive harms, cancer, you know, hormonal problems, and it's a chelator, meaning it makes the, it holds on to and makes unavailable the vital nutrients of any living thing it touches. So it is, we believe, and many scientists believe it's largely responsible for the vitamin and mineral deficiency that's happening not only in our food supply, but in Americans, which is leading to a whole host of problems such as, you know, low vitamin D, low vitamin Bs, immune system problems, mental health problems. So 93% of the school lunches were positive for this chemical herbicide. It's the most widely used herbicide in the world. It's called glyphosate. It's otherwise known as Roundup or Ranger Pro. It's the one that was sued. The manufacturer Monsanto was sued by 144,000 plaintiffs, and they won over $12 billion for its connection to cancer. So this should not be in our school lunches. And as I was saying earlier, it was only found in 60% of grocery store foods, and by grocery store foods, I mean non-organic. It was found in, I believe, 20% of some organic foods, the highly processed ones. But it was found by over 93% in school lunches. So very, very disturbing. We also found, it was, I think 74% of school lunches positive for harmful pesticides, 29 different kinds of harmful pesticides. We found 100% of the school lunch samples positive for heavy metals, which like arsenic, lead, cadmium, and mercury. And these are neurotoxins that also can cause cancer. So and some of the brain damage that heavy metals causes has been known to be lifelong, permanent brain damage. So this is not a good idea.
It would not seem to be a very good idea to have those things in our food. And yet those chemicals that are in our food are what make it possible to make so much of our food. An example. Some time ago, I did a radio show from the Phil and Barbara Hamburger Farm in South Dakota. They had, the hamburgers had maybe, I think, 12 to 16,000 acres of corn and soybeans, which they managed by themselves. Now, they had the equipment and everything to do the job, but without the equipment and chemicals, it would have been impossible to raise those crops by themselves. They would have had to go out and hoe the weeds on 12,000 acres of soybeans. That would be a job. But instead, they just fly on an herbicide such as glyphosate, kill the weeds, and they're done with it. So it makes it possible for the industrial manufacturing of cheap food. But as Michael Olson's third law of the food chain puts it, cheap food isn't. There is always a cost. And you and moms across America have found the cost to be the toxic chemicals that are in our children's school lunches and fast foods.
Yes, it's also not nutrient dense. The minerals were extremely low. And so low that it just would not be possible for a child, if they were only consuming school lunches, to be properly nourished and for their, you know, their brain and their body to develop. And unfortunately, there are millions of children across America now where predominantly the only food they get is from, you know, from their schools. And they may get, you know, a snack after school, like chips and soda or something from a, you know, a 7-Eleven. But they're not going home to, you know, big bowls of salad and broccoli and nutrient-dense whole foods because their family is poverty-stricken. So what's happening is that the people that need the nutrients the most in order to support their brains and their bodies, in order to be able to, you know, stay out of prison, not be obese, be healthy, be productive, go to college, get a good job, whatever that is, go to trade school and be productive members of the society, they are actually really at a massive disadvantage because they're getting food that is not nutrient dense. In fact, from the fast food testing, we found they're getting food that actually can contribute to aggression and combativeness. So it's no wonder that people in poverty-stricken areas are the ones that end up in prisons the most. And if you want, I can talk more about the mineral content and the vitamin content in the fast food that we found, because we were able to do more analysis in fast food after we did school lunch and we got more funding for fast food. So the fast food testing was more extensive.
Let's make a transition here. You and the moms across America looked into school lunches and found there to be very bad chemicals in there to be feeding our children. Where are these chemicals coming from? You wondered, and you found out that they were coming from fast foods.
Yes, this was acknowledged by members of the School Nutrition Association, which has 50,000 food directors under them, and also the USDA. We confirmed this. Only 15% of the food comes from the USDA that is supplied to our kids in school lunches, basically from the government. So that means 85% of that comes from fast food places and big manufacturers like Cargill and places like that. So the food that's given to our children through fast food companies is really the worst of the worst. And that has shown up in the results. 100% of the top 20 fast food brands, plus one, we tested In-N-Out as well. That was actually ranked number 33 on the list of sales, but we added in In-N-Out because we have board members from California that thought it would be much healthier, because they are taking actions to supply healthier food. But we tested and 100% of them were positive for glyphosate, and 76% were positive for harmful pesticides. And the levels were really, you know, ridiculous. For instance, Panera Bread had the highest levels of glyphosate at over 414 parts per billion. The lowest levels, just in comparison, were 4 parts per billion, and that was in Chipotle. But if you look at the ingredients, it sort of makes sense, because Panera Bread is, their sandwich is primarily bread, right? It's wheat sprayed with glyphosate. Yeah, wheat sprayed with glyphosate as a drying agent. The Chipotle meal is mostly rice and, you know, vegetables and meat and beans and meats and things like that. So if you're going to eat out anywhere, that's, you know, just what I would have people be aware of. Panera Bread was the highest in glyphosate. Arby's was second highest. And Chipotle was the lowest. And then 76% were positive for harmful pesticides. And unfortunately for pizza lovers who like vegetable top pizzas, the Domino's and Pizza Hut had the highest levels of harmful pesticides. And it was the vegetable top pizzas that had the harmful pesticides on it, which makes sense, right? It doesn't make sense, but when you think about how food is grown, it's the produce, right? It's the vegetables, the peppers and the onions things like that.
And so the kids are eating glyphosate in the bread and pesticides on the vegetables.
Yes, you do. Yes. And then you get veterinary drugs and hormones in the meat. And so there were, I'm sorry, I forgot off the top of my head right now, how many veterinary drugs and hormones, 40 to 60% of the top 10 fast food samples, we didn't test all of them because it's quite expensive, were positive for antibiotics that were given to animals. And there were the two that were found, 60% had monacin, 40% had narasin. And these are antibiotics that can cause the hind legs of dogs and horses to go paralyzed. They're highly toxic antibiotics. In 40 to 60% of the top 10 fast food brands, that's Taco Bell, Chipotle, Dunkin' Donuts, Wendy's, Domino's, Burger King, Subway, Starbucks, Chick-fil-A, and McDonald's. So the only one that didn't have those two, oh no, the only two that didn't, three, that didn't have those antibiotics were Chipotle, Subway, and Chick-fil-A. However, Chick-fil-A had an antiparasitic called narcobazine, which is also an aviary contraceptive. It prevents birds from laying eggs. So this is an antiparasitic that is used for chickens to prevent a parasite that chickens often get. However, it can only be given to meat birds. It cannot be given to egg-laying chickens because it will prevent them from laying eggs. This drug is commonly used in around airports and state capitals where they don't want geese and pigeons, you know, collecting. So it's a known aviary contraceptive, and that's in the fast food, and it's in school lunches. We went back and looked at our school lunch data and found it in 4 of the samples. for school lunches. So 10% of the school lunch samples contained, that we tested, contained this aviary contraceptive. And Michael, this is extremely concerning to me as a mother, because when a mother is pregnant with a baby girl, she's essentially pregnant with her grandchildren as well, because a baby girl will grow and develop the only eggs that she will ever have. She has a finite number of eggs. And so she's, that baby fetus girl is developing those eggs that will end up being the mother's grandchildren. And so I have to wonder what is happening to our girls, or the mothers that are eating fast food, right? What's happening to our girls when they go to school, eat school lunches every day, and they are being exposed to an aviary contraceptive? Is it damaging their eggs? Is it preventing them from ovulating eventually? Is it, you know, what's happening to that? We don't know. That this is the kind of study that the NIH should be doing. What is the impact on humans, or at least rats, you know, animal studies, when they're exposed to narcotizine and other antibiotics?
But we do not do that because it would not be ethical.
It wouldn't be advantageous for the, companies that sell these pharmaceuticals, would it? Yeah. And what's interesting is that many of the companies that make these pharmaceutical drugs also make the GMO seeds and the chemicals that are sprayed on the GMO seeds in order to do the industrial farming. So they profit from this agrochemical industrial farming that's making us sick, that's making us sterile, that's making us mentally ill. And then they sell us the drugs to try to quote unquote make us better, but actually make us pharmaceutical slaves, essentially, for the rest of our lives, as they continue to feed us this poisonous food. It's highly profit. It's called a perfect profit circle for these corporations. For instance, one of our advisors, Mark Dudla from Dudla Family Farms, he's a regenerative organic farmer now, but he wasn't before. He's sixth generation, but his dad was a conventional farmer. His dad got cancer, horrific cancer. He has images of it. He shows in his presentations. He went with us to the congressional briefing in Washington, D.C. To talk about the school lunch and the fast food results. His dad was an agrochemical farmer and used products from Bayer, which was some were owned from Monsanto before, but many also from Bayer. And when they ordered his cancer treatment, he realized it came from Bayer. So the very same chemical that caused his dad's cancer also was giving, you know, was selling the cancer treatment to, you know, to quote unquote get him better. Of course he died, and the cancer treatments were extremely expensive. And you're right. I am mad. I am outraged. Yeah. Outraged that this could be allowed. So we did a congressional briefing about these fast food test results. You know, the FDA, first we met with the USDA, and they said, well, you know, this is really not our area. It's the Dietary Guidelines, you know, Association and the FDA that set the, enforce, you know, what's in the contamination of what's in the food supply. And then we went to the FDA and they said, well, it's not us actually. The EPA is the one that sets the limits. We just enforce. And I said, well, how do you enforce? First of all, the limits are ridiculous. And, you know, like they allow 30,000 parts per billion of glyphosate on wheat and 0.1 or one, you know, between 0.1 and one part per billion can cause sex hormone changes and liver and kidney damage, right? So the allowable levels are only there for the manufacturers to seemingly have some type of, you know, it's like a racket. It seems like they have some type of standards, but they actually don't. And, then second of all, I was like, how do you enforce? And the FDA says, well, we test food samples every year. It's like 1200 or 1000 food samples or something every year. And we put out those reports. You can see them 2 years later on their website. So they're 2 years old by the time they actually get these reports out. By the way, when I get test results out, moms across America gets them out in 2 weeks. You know, we have people analyze them. We write up reports. It does not take 2 years to get these reports out. So anyway, they put them out 2 years later because retroactively, right, probably nothing much can be done about it. And I said, well, I've looked at some of those reports. In fact, when I was on the organic product advisory committee to the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of California as a consumer representative because of my position at Moms Across America. I looked at what the federal EPA tested for as far as those foods go and the pesticides, and what the California EPA tested for. And then I compare the pesticides that were tested to what the EPA says are the top 25 most widely used herbicides, like atrazine and pesticide and glyphosate and 2,4-D and dicamba, those types of parquat, you know, those types of pesticides and herbicides that are most commonly used. And guess how many I found on the federal and the California lists?
How many?
They tested for two of those pesticides on the federal side and three of them on the California side. And then they would come out with reports saying, well, we tested 1,200 samples and 98% of them were below the maximum residue levels. Well, if you're only testing for two or three out of the top 25 most widely used herbicides, of course you're not going to find many pesticides there because you're not testing for them.
And that they do not test humans or the impact on humans.
Right. So that's just testing the food. And then I also asked him, so how else are you enforcing? Are you testing children to see if the levels of these pesticides and heavy metals and veterinary drugs and hormones are accumulating at harmful levels? Like, how are you enforcing that what's in the food is actually safe for exposure to children? They said, no, we don't test children. That's not our area. You want to go back to the EPA because they're the ones that set the limits. So we got pushed from the EPA to Congress. Congress said, go to USDA. USDA said, go to FDA. FDA says, go back to EPA.
It would seem to be that bureaucracy could be a very much of a danger to the mama bears of Moms Across America. But something tells me that the mama bears are not going to stop charging down the hill.
We're not done, and they cannot ignore this evidence. And we're currently getting ready to send petitions to the manufacturers because we know that they can do more about this right now than the government will care to do. But the government has been put on alert. They have children, too.
Yes.
And so what we're hoping is that they will realize that what their children is eating is not advantageous for not only the children, but for the future of this country. I mean, if we continue at the rate we're going, one out of two of our children by 2035 is going to be, or 2034 is going to have autism. One out of two of the children born will be diagnosed with autism. And, within a decade or two, within a generation or so, most males will not be able to procreate naturally.
Wow.
So most of our reproductive, our procreation will have to happen through in vitro fertilization if we keep going the way we're going. And that will mean only the elite
will be able to afford to procreate. Gee, do you think that could be part of the program? And so let's give that a consideration as we take our last break of the day. But don't let it scare you away, because we have the mama bears on our side, and we will be right back.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Yes. And if there is anybody who has a lot to say about the food our children are being led to eat, it would be Zen Honeycutt and her Moms Across America. Zen started looking into school lunches. So frightened by what she saw, she started looking into the fast foods that feed the school lunches. Didn't get any better. Zen?
Yeah, 85 million Americans eat fast food every day. And fast food suppliers supply school lunches, and 30 million school lunches are served every day. So over 115 million people are consuming this type of food every day. And this is, that's over a third of Americans. And what's concerning to me is not just that this food quality is so low. It's not food that I serve to my kids. I haven't eaten food at a fast food place in probably maybe 15, 17 years, something like that. No. So this is not something that I'm worried about for my family, but my children's babysitter, right? Now, they don't have babysitters now, but they could be hopped up on chemicals from the fast food place. My children's teachers could have eaten this for lunch. My children's, coaches, sports coaches, the policemen that are policing our streets, the elected officials, their friends that, you know, their elder brothers that their kids, you know, their friends' houses when they go to could be violent and aggressive because they've just had fast food. And I want to talk more about the results and why I'm bringing in aggression here and violence is because we actually found a chemical called butanediol whose side effect, the side effect actually says causes combativeness.
Yeah, what was the chemical? Again,
butanediol. It's a central nervous system depressant. And it was found in some of our testing, and we need to put the report out yet. It's just we've had issues with the lab about some of the test results. But this particular test result is clear that there was butanediol in it. And
what is that used for with respect to raising animals and food?
We don't know. We have no idea why it's there. And I've asked ranchers, and they don't know either. It's a central nervous system depressant. Maybe they're giving it to animals before they get killed so that they don't act, you know, they're not surly and hard to handle before they kill them. I don't know, but it was found in 47% of the fast food samples that we tested. It causes
47%?
Yes.
That's
half. Yes. And so I'm concerned that the person driving the car next to me, you know, it just ate at Jack in the Box or Sonic Burger or Burger King or one of these places that may have this, chemical in there. It also has propylene glycol, which is very harmful in many of the fast food samples. And also the fast food samples were abysmally low. In fact, vitamin B9 and vitamin B12 were non-existent in any of the samples. So we tested the samples for vitamin B.
No essential nutrition. There are very little essential nutrition.
Yes. In fact, the vitamin B3 was so low that one would have to eat 333 Chick-fil-A sandwiches if you were a female and 380 if you were a male in order to get your recommended level of vitamin B3, B as in boy, 3. And why I'm talking about vitamin Bs is because I've done my research on the food supply, and Barbara Reed Stitt is one of the leading researchers of food. She won a Lifetime Achievement Award for her 20-year study of the food supply, where she conducted research on thousands of people for over a year at a time, including a couple different prisons. And one of the prisons, she found that when she replaced she found that the parolees, the criminals, and the serial killers all had one thing in common. It was not their race. It was not that they were poverty stricken. It was not that they lived in urban cities. That whether they were rich or poor or black or white, the one thing that they all had in common was that they bragged they lived on junk food. And coincidentally, when any of them were tested, they also found that they were low in vitamin Bs. And vitamin B is essential, B9, B12, B3, for the prefrontal cortex, for the development of the prefrontal cortex, which is where the decision-making process happens in the brain. And so when she took out the processed foods and highly sugared foods and the foods with the chemicals and GMOs and pesticides and all of that and gave them whole foods for a year, the recidivism rate switched. Instead of 70% going out and coming back in within a year, 70% went out and stayed out. And also there were studies done shown that within 2 weeks, the recordings of aggressive behavior, because they record in prison, right? The number of times where there's aggressive behavior. Within 2 weeks, there was a 50 to 70% drop in different types of violent behavior when the prisoners were given proper supplementation and mineral and vitamin supplementation. So, we know that people with low vitamin B levels are likely to be more aggressive. This is known, but of course the government and food companies are refusing to acknowledge this. We've seen this mimicked out in food studies. I'm sorry, in animal studies. There was a study that came out of University of Strasbourg, Germany, where a farmer was concerned because there was a decline in his hamster population that lived naturally in his cornfield. He had a monocrop cornfield. We know what that probably means. It's probably GMO, but definitely herbicides and pesticides. And that was shown because it's monocrop that they use all the same kind and they use chemicals and fertilizers. The soil was like sand, so it was nutrient deficient. And they studied the hamsters and they found a very disturbing behavior. The mothers were cannibalistic. They were eating their young on the first day of life. And when they tested these mother cannibalistic hamsters, they found that they were completely devoid of vitamin B3. And when they administered vitamin B3, the cannibalistic violent behavior completely stopped. Completely stopped. One vitamin. So what does that tell me? That tells me that maybe our politicians should be spending their time and money on getting safe, nutrient-dense, safe food into our children and our food supply instead of spending all this time and money on more gun laws that the criminals are not going to follow anyway. But we need to get to the cause of why these children are violent and why they're aggressive. And that is because they are not receiving proper nutrients from the food supply. And if they don't have nutrient-dense, safe food, they're going to continue to be aggressive and have violent behavior. And we've got now I have two shootings a day, mass shootings a day in America. We are the most violent country in the world. There's a reason for that.
And so maybe, just maybe, there is a correlation between the school lunches, the fast foods, the highly processed foods, and our propensity for violence. But the question is, what can moms across America do to chase the toxic chemicals out of our food? Zen?
Well, first we start with our own children. And I want to tell you one more story about violence and behavior just to tie up that whole thing. But it's a great example. So there was a woman from Santa Ana, California, Hispanic woman, low income, single mom of four children, just doing the best she can, right? And she called me and said that she wanted me to know the story because she wanted me to continue doing what I'm doing with Moms Across America and get the word out. And so I tell the story everywhere I possibly can. And that is that when her son was 9 years old, he had mental health issues and she had told the school about it and they ignored her. And so one day they called her and said, you've got to come pick up your son from school. He just threatened to blow up the school with a bomb and kill everyone in it. And she said, well, I told you he has mental health issues and I need help. And they said, okay, we'll send him to a psychiatrist. So they sent him to a psychiatrist and the psychiatrist gave her a SSRI, you know, an antidepressant after, you know, reviewing him. And she said to them, well, isn't there something else I can do? What about the side effects and just do this for the rest of his life? And he said, the psychiatrist said, well, it's either this or you consider what you're feeding him. What is he? And she said, what do you mean? He said, well, what does he eat? And she said, well, I don't know, hot dogs, hamburgers, tacos, quesadillas, you know, like whatever I can get into him. And he's a very picky eater, and which is very common with people with mental illness. And he said, well, have you considered the pesticides, the GMOs, the chemicals, the preservatives, the food dyes, all of that in the food? And she said, no, I haven't. And he said, well, you can either feed him organic or you can give him this antidepressant for the rest of his life. So she fed him organic. She found a way to serve her child organic rice and beans, organic foods. And within 2 weeks, the school called her and said, we don't know what you're doing, but this is a completely new human being. Keep doing it. And she told me, I'm calling you because yesterday was the school shooting in Florida. And I know that my son would have been one of those kids that would have gone out and gotten a gun and shot kids at his school and killed people. And that's a very hard thing for a mother to admit. But she said he will not do that because he's eating organic. He's healthy. He's responsible. He's working on community gardens all across the county. He's a happy, healthy, responsible, you know, at this time he was, you know, 17 years old. You know, he was very responsible. And so I said, you know what you did? You gave your son a new future. That was not the future he was going to have. And you gave every single kid at that school and in the community a new future because they're not suffering from trauma, from loss of loved ones. And you might even have given our country a new future because who knows what this boy will invent or a product he'll create or a service or maybe run for office. Who knows? So that's why Moms Across America does what we're doing, because we want every child to be able to live up to their fullest potential. We want to have the world where people can be creative and responsible and give back and create loving relationships. I mean, that's what it's all about. If we don't have loving relationships, when, at the end of the day, when we're in our deathbed, we're not thinking about whether or not our shoes were Prada or we, you know, I don't know, own a certain kind of house. We're thinking about our loving relationships. And if you don't have mental health, if you don't have good physical health, you cannot show up your best in your relationships. That is the health is the crux of it all. And food is the largest contributing factor of health. So we're going to keep doing what we're doing. I say everywhere I go, we will not stop. We will not give up because the love for our children will never end.
Ferocious. Just like a mama grizz charging down the hill to protect her cubs. Before the show, I was having a discussion with producer Vanessa about the best way to encourage fast food chains to improve their food. One could either hold up the bad chains and say, these chains are bad, or one could hold up the good chains and say, these chains sell the best food. What do you think?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, well, we could definitely do more of the latter of celebrating the two, but here's the problem. None of them were totally clean. All of them had glyphosate. All of them had heavy metals. So I can't really celebrate that much. You know, we can say, okay, Chipotle had the lowest levels of glyphosate. Yay. And, Subway had no detectable, veterinary drugs and hormones in their two samples that we tested. But that doesn't mean out of those two samples, you know, two different types of meals. It was probably six samples. We had to buy multiple samples of each meal in order to have enough food to be tested, right? But just because those two types of meals from Subway or Chipotle weren't positive for veterinary drugs and hormones, it doesn't mean that none of their other food samples are. It's just not extensive enough, the testing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, do you think the government is watching out for our children? Don't let that thought depress you, because know well that the 300,000 mothers of mothers across America are marching for our children. Thank you so much, Zen Honeycutt. Moms across America really appreciate your gift to our country.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you to all your listeners as well.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.